Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Holistic Hippie Podcast. This is episode number 8, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about shadow work. This is a term I think that gets thrown around a lot in the spiritual spheres, especially on social media. And I think that there's a lot to unpack and really understand before we can start really working on some of these more shadowy aspects of self. And so to define kind of your shadow, I guess, is really kind of looking at the aspects of self that are a little bit unsavory. They are the parts of us that we don't necessarily like to talk about, we don't like to notice. These can be our deepest insecurities or our fears or, different behaviors that we have learned and adopted over the years, perhaps like impatience or intolerance or being super judgmental. We all have shadow sides, and I think it's very, very worthwhile to investigate, because our whole real journey, I guess, hinges on our ability to be able to examine ourselves in this way. Now, we talked about ego earlier on in the podcast, and that's a topic that will continue to come up because ego is so closely woven into this concept of shadow. When we go out into the world, we like to put our best foot forward, and we kind of look at ourselves and maybe would describe ourselves in a certain way. And that description very rarely includes the negative aspects of self, unless, of course, we are self-depreciating, in which case that's a whole other thing. So usually, I mean, when we're thinking about ourselves and really and truly what we're hoping that others perceive from us, because we really do care the way that others perceive us, whether we like to think we do or not, is kind of in this like this best light. And for that reason, it makes it very, very difficult for us to be able to take constructive criticism from other people. And it becomes very, very difficult if we're unable to admit to these aspects of self or take constructive feedback or criticism from others, that we're really unable to do anything about these attributes that we are operating from. So when it comes to really being able to identify and work with a problem, whether it is a basic kind of day-to-day problem, or, you know, to actually working on yourself as the most important project you will ever, ever undertake. Anytime we approach a problem, in order to make a meaningful resolution or solution come forth, we have to first really understand the problem. So if we don't really understand what it is that we're working with and really the root cause or the root source of the problem, then all of our solutions are going to be sort of futile, and it might take us a lot of trial and error before we actually come up with a meaningful solution. If we know that we need to make a change, let's say in our house, when it comes to the placement of furniture or whatever that might be, we might recognize there's a problem, let's say, with the flow in the house, that it's maybe the logistics are a little bit off. And so using something small like that, we understand that, okay, it would be a lot more convenient if instead of having this item over here, if we actually brought it over here, and then we can easily see the root cause, you know, this isn't functional, and then we can make the most meaningful changes. And really the same thing applies as simplistically as that to our personal life. The trouble is there's a lot of ego. And so when we approach ourselves, suddenly it's not just this logical thing like, oh, wow, I'm very judgmental. And let me understand why that is so that I can work with it to transmute it, to change it. Instead, we say, I'm not judgmental. What do you mean I'm judgmental? Give me an example of a time that I've been judgmental. And we really start to, the ego comes forward and it protects. And I think that it's important to understand why we do this, okay? I have seen so many people, and I've been one of those people. This is why I can talk to you about this, because it's like literally speaking from example. And let's use me as an example. I've been one of those people where you literally would have to walk on eggshells around because it was so easy to offend me. It was so easy to criticize me because my ego was so thick. You know, my husband has been this beautiful mirror, and I say beautiful because the outcome is beautiful, but the circumstances in which these situations unfold is never beautiful. It's always deeply painful. And my husband has served as a mirror for me. He's got thick enough skin to be able to approach me. He's learned over the years enough compassion to be able to stay calm in these situations where he's able to reflect back to me, hey, this is how you're showing up in this moment, and it's actually not okay. What are you going to do about it? And I think that is a place where we need to be able to arrive at least with ourselves. It's a lot easier to do that kind of work within yourself than it is to invite another person along into that sphere. And if you have a very woke conscious partner, this is something that you can definitely start to work towards, but very gently, because there are a lot of ego entanglements that come up, and ego work is shadow work, and it is really difficult. It's very confronting. And I think it's important to understand, okay? I think I'll speak just from my experience, because that is how I can teach any of this, because I know it so well. When we are in this place of duality, I mean, everything in the world is hinged around duality, around polarity, right? So we have light and we have darkness. This is what we're speaking about from a microcosmic level within our own personal selves. There is light and darkness. On a macro, we've got a whole kind of planetary global rotation that creates this also, this nighttime and this daytime, this light and darkness, right? We've got contrast everywhere. And with that contrast, you almost always find for every, what do they say? For every action, there is a reaction, right? And so we actually embody this level of duality, this level of polarity within ourselves. The trouble is, when we look out into the world, what we have been taught is good and bad. And those are polarities as well that kind of muddy everything. They get very confusing because we want to strive for good and reject bad. And that becomes difficult when we find the shadow within, because right away we say it's bad. And I think the problem that we have, at least for me, is that when I was met with criticism, or let's call it constructive feedback, you know, I would not be able to take that criticism on board because it seemed to cancel out the positive on the other side, right? And so if, let's use confidence as an example, if I consider myself a very confident person with good self-esteem, if somebody's calling me self-conscious or insecure, how can I hold both of those in my being? So if one of them is going to be right, I have to make the other one wrong. And I don't want to make the one wrong that I don't like, right? When meanwhile, it's very, very, very possible for us to hold duality, because duality is all that there is. So there is an element of self-consciousness. How else would we know what being confident is like if we have had or experienced the lack of it? How else would we know? And so we almost need one in order to experience the other. It's like a juxtaposition, right? It's a place, our shadow, for us to then experience a different perspective. So when someone would meet me with this level of feedback, instantly I would reject it because I can't be both. This is a faulty viewpoint. And it's very important to point out, because once we're able to recognize that we do hold both of these dualities within us, and it's actually necessary for the other one to exist, and there's ways we can work with it and understand it, because actually our shadow is a massive teacher in our lives if we allow it to be. And so when we are able to contain this concept that we do embody both light and dark, and that's okay, we have to start to think about removing this concept of good and bad from that, from labeling them, right? And I always like to use the breath as an example, because it's such a beautiful metaphor. Because when we think about breathing, we are not just thinking about the inhale And we are not just thinking about the exhale as two separate things. When we're thinking about breathing, we're thinking about this reciprocal experience of the influx of oxygen and then the exit of carbon dioxide. It's this chemical reaction that occurs in the body. And when we are thinking about the concept of breathing, it embodies both aspects, right? We wouldn't say, I much prefer the inhale to the exhale, so the inhale is better than the exhale. We would never say that because that doesn't make any sense, because they are incomplete without the other. We need the exhale in order for the inhale to be successful, and vice versa. And so that is such an example of how we can find neutrality. We can find this neutrality when it comes to our personality. Oh, I'm very judgmental, and yet I'm also kind and compassionate. We can hold both. And there's a reason for the judgment that's going to teach us something. So it's beautiful. So, you know, I think that's like really the groundwork that I want to build this whole talk on, because without that understanding, and that's like a whole process to work on, you know, press pause and come back to this in a few months. Like, you have enough to work on right there, just accepting your shadow, welcoming it in and not pushing it away. I think that's the hardest thing. So what we do is we push these things away. Okay. And what happens is that energy has to go somewhere. And so we push the shadow away. And what we do is we continue to attract situations, experiences, relationships that are going to continue to shed light on the shadow. We came to Earth to learn. That's our mission and our purpose here. So if you've been looking your whole life to know what your mission is, you're already living it. This has been a very freeing thing for me to understand, because then it just makes everything that you think is mundane in your boring little life, and you realize, wow, I've been missing it all along. All of that boring little mundane things that I figure is really not that important is everything. Because we came here to learn, and we learn through experience. We learn through specifically making mistakes. That's a huge, huge way that we learn. And yet we're so terrified to make mistakes that we never do anything, right? So when it comes to kind of building on this concept, I mean, you could spend months or years just kind of being able to make space without emotion for your shadow side. So that means that when somebody wants to come to you with something, maybe you've hurt their feelings, or maybe they have something to express to you and they're really scared to tell you, maybe because of how you might react. That's the time we want to implore this neutralness, that we want to be able to say, okay, well, how am I being perceived? Because it's all fine and well to perceive ourselves in a really good light, but if nobody else is having that experience, or they're also having experiences of shadow, wouldn't we want to know that so that we can improve it? And what we tend to do instead is cut those people out of our lives. We say they're this, they're that, and the other thing. There is definitely, you know, when we're talking about, and I'll do a whole different podcast on this kind of a topic, because there are people that are malicious and ill-intentioned. There are relationships that are very toxic. But there's also kind of a culture, I think, in our mental health sphere that really protects wounds and victimness by saying this person triggers me and therefore I have every right to cut them out of my life. And there is definitely place for that, and there's room for that, and I can elaborate more on that on another podcast. But at the same time, there is a whole lot of opportunity in being triggered, in learning how to master the most difficult relationships that you'll ever have. And actually, you can literally transform the relationships that you have with the most difficult people in your life when you remove emotion, when you remove ego. Because if there are people in your life that are malicious and ill-intentioned, you become no fun for them to play with when you stop reacting. And when you start to understand that it's really not about you at all, it's about them and their need to play out this belief system and get this reaction, because that satisfies this place within them that tells them what their world is like. When you stop playing with them, they get bored and they don't bother you anymore. And so that's a whole other thing. So we're not talking necessarily here about the malicious or the ill-intentioned people that come into our lives that are like energy vampires. We're just talking about normal everyday relationships. Usually our spouses or our significant other tends to trigger us or challenge us. If we have kids, same thing. if we have siblings, if we have parents, you know, whoever we find ourselves close to, they don't even have to be related at all. Our closest friends. Sometimes our friends are the siblings that we got to choose for ourselves. And so we're talking really about these patterns that show up in our relationships. If you are, say, like me, okay, so I used to date the same person over and over and over and over again until one day I had this epiphany, and I think I shared this in a later podcast, that the common denominator was me. And that was a really strange place that I arrived in because I realized, okay, I have been in like 4 abusive relationships, emotionally and physically. And when else did I experience this type of abuse? At home. I learned this at home. My relationship with my parents was very abusive. And it's difficult for me to say that on here because I never want to give the impression that I had bad parents. I didn't. But there was a lot of trauma in our upbringing from stress. And that stress created really traumatic experiences for my sisters and I. The stress that my parents were going under brought out their shadow side, which caused a lot of problems. And so they were very good people doing the best that they knew how to do, but they were also experiencing a considerable amount of stress and challenge and trauma in their own lives that caused them to behave in ways that they would never choose to consciously behave in. So I just want to put that disclaimer. I'm always horrified thinking that one day my mother might stumble upon my podcast and I would offend her because, you know, I tell her all the time, thank you for being all that you were and for processing things the way that you did, because I would never have learned what I needed to learn to be who I am today. So thank you. Thank you for the times that I felt abused. Thank you for the times that you really deeply wounded my feelings and my self-esteem. You know, and I see the reasons for that now, but I didn't see them then. And experience is the best teacher that we can have. So if I experienced this level of pain and hurt from a maternal figure or a paternal figure, I'm very likely going to look for ways to resolve this wound by finding similar partners. And so I did. And I don't remember how old I was, maybe 27, when I finally broke up with the last abuser. And I played a role in this. Don't get me wrong. That's a whole other podcast as to how, you know, doing the work to heal and coming full circle, I can actually say that I've had to apologize to my exes who, you know, physically and emotionally abused me, because I played a role in that. I came in with such a hard victim mindset that it was impossible. It was impossible, but it was beautiful learning. So, you know, I came to this realization that I was the common denominator in these toxic relationships. And that was a freaky place for me to be, because I'm like, okay, so somehow subconsciously, without me even like trying, I'm doing something that's bringing these people into my life. And I realized it had to do with a faulty belief system. And so I started to do my work. And that's been a long time that I've been doing this work now. So it's not something that happens overnight. And I mean, the wonderful thing is that I was able, you know, my very last, when I had this epiphany, I had ended that last relationship. And the next person that came into my life is my now husband. And it has not been rainbows and lollipops. We have experienced a lot of trauma together as a couple and have been on a radical healing journey to really heal and find our way again after life literally just pulled the rug out from underneath us. So we have, you know, triggered one another in very huge ways over this journey, except the difference is that we are learning and growing together. And so what started out as a lot of these like really horrible arguments, because that's what I was used to, that's what I was familiar with, and he had a temper and we were meeting each other in this place, and we realized that that wasn't really constructive and we weren't going to go anywhere. And we found ourselves in a position in life where we actually couldn't afford to break up. Like even if we wanted to, we were so stuck together because of some financial stuff that had come up that we couldn't even afford to leave each other if we wanted to. And there was many times I had thought about it, but there was no possible way. So, I mean, what a beautiful, and I can tell that story a whole nother time, but the whole idea is that it takes a lot for us to get to that point where we're willing to say, okay, hold on here. What's the pattern? Okay. I know a girl who I was friends with who always has trouble with female relationships. She will kind of get like really, really close with somebody and she'll do anything to help and support them. And if they want to move on in a way that she doesn't resonate with, she like cuts ties with them altogether. Okay, there's many, many, many situations that we can find ourselves in that are repetitive. And unless we look at what it might be from our end, because patterns are a really, really important thing to pay attention to. If we're finding ourselves in the same situation with different people, that's life saying to you, hey, you're not paying attention. I've been trying to teach you this for a long time now. Like, are you listening yet? Are you listening yet? And so this is how Source gets our attention, through experience. And so when we can get out of ego, when we can get out of being a victim in our lives and realize, in some way I am creating this experience for myself, how can I change it? And that's a huge, that takes experience to arrive there. Okay, so that's step one. Being able to actually hear what other people say to you and removing the emotion from it. Okay, so once we're able to make space for this concept, I'm not perfect and it's okay. I don't have to be. And my shadow's not necessarily bad. My shadow's a teacher. So don't demonize the teacher. Okay? These aspects of self that are unsavory are here to show you something. And we can't look at them because they make us uncomfortable. But guess what? We do not grow out anywhere within our comfort zone. Only way to grow is to step outside of that comfort zone where things are uncomfortable and then we are forced to adapt. That's how we do. So coming to this place then where we're able to say, okay, I am not perfect. I have these flaws. Here's what they are. And I'm willing and open to see any more that I might not have noticed. Okay, if we can invite that into our experience. And then remember that, because what often happens, and this is where it gets difficult, is that we often get this type of feedback from our relationships in the form of arguments, in the form of confrontation. And most of us are like so hell-bent on not experiencing any confrontation that it can be difficult to see, oh, this is a teaching opportunity. Okay. Every single time that we get in an argument with somebody, every single time that there is somebody that has something to say to us, even if it's an insult, and maybe that's kind of the intention because they have such strong emotions that somehow we have wounded their story in a way that they want to mirror back to us, this shadow aspect of self, to be able to take our emotion out of that moment transforms it from confrontation into a serious learning opportunity. So, for example, the way that my husband and I now, after years of practice, will communicate is so much different. He used to say, like, you're being this, or you're so controlling. That's a good one. You're so controlling. And I would hear that, and instantly I would think of my mother. And I would reject that because I am not like my mother. There is no way that I'm like my mother. And actually, there's a lot of amazing qualities that my mother has. So I'm happy to take those ones on. But nope, not the controlling part. Not a chance. And so I would reject that and I would be insulted by that. And the only way that you move forward from an argument is the other person says sorry. And you sort of just take sorry as being like, okay, they didn't mean what they said. No, maybe they did. Maybe they did mean what they said, but they're sorry for hurting your feelings. And that's a different thing. But we still need to work with the actual content that was there. So as an example, my husband would tell me I was controlling, or just the way, the tone of my voice when I would speak to him was like very belittling. I made him feel small. And these were things that reminded me of my mother that I rejected. And when I was able to take the emotion out of that, because one of the times he came to me, like I could actually see that I had really hurt him. And then I started to instantly feel bad. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. And for the first time, I was actually able to just kind of like put my defenses to the side because I saw him as my best friend and I could sort of like divide myself in two because part of me was his best friend and I needed to hear about like who had done this to him, who had hurt him so much. And it was actually me, you know, and he said to me when he came to talk to me, he said, listen, I'm in a predicament. I need to talk to you as my best friend right now. And I need to talk to my best friend about my wife. And they're both you. Can you be both? He asked me that. And that was a really profound moment because I realized, okay, all right, this gives me a chance now to just process this in my mind. Can I be first his best friend and second his wife? And can I hear how his wife is hurting him? You know? And so that was my opportunity to bring my light forward in order to learn about my darkness. And so it's very difficult to do that. That's why I say, like, this is years of practice, okay? And so he told me all of the ways in which his wife, which was also me, was making him feel badly. And I listened. And I didn't listen with the intention to build my next argument. Have you ever been in like the middle of a fight and you kind of turn off your listening as soon as they say something that triggers your next point and you start formulating your next point? And then when they've closed their mouth for long enough, you spit out your next point and they hear something they're triggered by and you escalate and you escalate and you escalate until you, like, you don't even know what you're fighting about anymore. You just go in circles and circles and circles with insults, right? And I listened this time not with the motivation to be right or to plead my case. I listened to understand. That required me to take the emotion out of it because I was hearing difficult things to hear about myself, things that I've been working on for a long time, things that I've been maybe rejecting or not wanting to admit for a long time. And I was able to say, okay, I hear you and I'm so sorry. And please give me some time to really think about this and integrate this so that I can come up with a plan in order to make the changes that are necessary. Because he had some very, very valid points. And that gave me an opportunity to then come forward to him a couple days later and say, okay, you know, I've thought about what you said, and this is my plan. This is what I want to try to do. This is why I think this is happening. And here's my plan to work on it. But what I need from you is patience. What I need from you is a really gentle way that you can kind of call me out in the moment, not days or weeks or months later. I need it to be in the moment in order for me to make those changes right then and there. And so we have developed this way of communication that is so, so, so different than it used to be. And it really provides this like fertile soil for us to grow. Okay, but that could not have been done without the ego stepping aside, taking the emotion out of it, and really accepting the fact that it's okay that I'm not perfect, that I can be a really nice person with a outgoing personality that is compassionate and kind, and I can show up as that, and I can also show up as the opposite of that. And what does the opposite have to teach me? It's a completely different way of approaching it. But if we are unwilling to put our emotions aside in order to really and truly hear somebody, we are missing out on all of the opportunity to become the best version of ourselves. And my cop-out used to be, right, because growing up, you know, my mother had really high expectations, and I see now, like, her heart was just so beautiful because we had a younger sister who was autistic, and she was hell-bent that we were not going to miss out on any opportunities in life just because we had a younger sister who had really unique needs, and she really wanted the world for us, you know, as all parents, well, most parents do. And, you know, as a result, she had really high expectations. And I often had this feeling that I just wasn't good enough. And that's something that even still lingers. Okay. It's something that I'm still working on, that my husband lovingly holds a mirror up to when circumstance calls for it. And so if I'm not feeling like I'm good enough, that's kind of when I shut down. So, you know, for example, I can't remember what we were talking about. You know, he and I had an argument, and it's like something that I wasn't doing. And it was really driving him crazy. And he just like asked me like, oh, come on, like, I need you to like do this. Like, you always say that you're going to and you never follow through. And my instant response, which was like such a cop out because it's a shut down conversation over type of response, is, oh, well, I'm sorry that I'm not perfect. Like, what do you even say to that? No, it's not about being perfect. Like, what do you even say to that? Right. So we had that moment. I told him, like, you know what? Sorry that I'm not perfect. And I was so mad and I slammed the door, locked myself in the bathroom, have a shower. And I just started to think, like, huh, that's weird. Like, why do I always go there? Why do I always shut down and go there? Like, what is that about? And I started to think about it when I was in the shower in a non-emotional way. Because I realized, like, okay, what he's asking for me, it does not really warrant me to have this reaction. And yet it's kind of like my program. I recognized in the middle of playing out the program, oh, this is a program. And I thought about it. And then I came out and I told him, listen, like, I just had an epiphany in the shower. I'm really sorry. That comment wasn't actually directed at you. That was directed at my mother. And I see that I'm still working on some of my healing. I'm very sorry. And, you know, it's being able to ask ourselves in every single moment, what's my role in this? What's my role here? In what way have I contributed to the outcome of this scenario? And that is really, I think, the only way that we can advance and improve. And we're lucky to have people in our lives that we're in relationship with that actually will hold us accountable. Okay, so a lot of the times when I tell stories about my partner, people, you know, women specifically, oh, like, I wish my partner was like this. Okay, you say that, but you have no idea the challenge when somebody that you love so much is constantly shining a mirror on the places where you need to do some work. It's so uncomfortable. Like, it's really not for the faint of heart. And I, you know, I almost wouldn't wish it on people. Because it's a lot nicer to have a relationship where you just kind of like tiptoe around each other's flaws. You know, you just kind of learn how to accept them. And, you know, I'm with someone that says, like, yeah, okay, like, yeah, we're good people, but can't we be better? And once we get better, can't we be even better? Like, is there ever an end to how much we can improve? You know, and that used to really daunt me. And now it really excites me. So it's definitely not for the faint of heart. But these are worthy things to be able to consider and bring into our understanding, because chances are we have a family. Chances are, even if we don't have a family, we have people that are close to us that challenge us, right? There are the people in our lives that maybe we come in and out of contact with because the relationship is so difficult. You know, we've all got a story. We've all got people in our lives who we can apply this type of understanding to. And then for me, so, like, you know, having been on this path where I'm learning, okay, I need to make space for my shadow. I need to understand that I am light and dark and it's okay. And, you know, for the first little while, it was kind of like, oh yeah, like, here's the, you know, he would hold a mirror up and it would really, really bother me. And then I would remember a couple days later, oh yeah, I asked for this. Okay. I need to accept this, you know, and it would take me a lot longer to process, like, ditch the emotion so I could actually hear what the constructive feedback was. And now I'm like hunting down the shadow. Like, it's so different. You know, it used to be like, okay, I'm willing to work with it in small doses because it's still too uncomfortable, to I actually want to hunt this down because I am addicted to growth. And every single time I meet myself in shadow, I find new aspects about myself that are actually pretty awesome. And our shadow just is there to teach us. It's there actually as a springboard into light. Because how else could we even see light if we have nothing to compare it to? You know, contrast and duality is everything in the material world. It is everything in this human experience, because we have here accessible to us such a wide array of emotional experiences and different emotional potential experiences that we are never going to run out of things to learn, ever. But if we are seeking to just feel good, we're going to miss out on a lot of things. Because it's the times when emotions are heavy that we are being asked to go inwards, that we are being asked to meet ourselves in a deeper way. And most people don't ever embark on that kind of work because it can be too painful. And so if we're really wanting to embark on a journey to work with our shadow, learning how to make space to contain both light and dark, learning how to be honest about both light and dark. Another thing that I find really, really, really healing and really empowering, actually, is the ability to apologize. And I mean, like, even to strangers, like, you know, when you go out somewhere and you're super rude to whoever it is that you come across, like, apologize. If you catch yourself in the moment, apologize. You want to know why? Because it's so uncomfortable that it teaches you not to continue doing that. So, for example, I mean, I practice, this is something I practice all the time because I'm not perfect. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm not perfect. You know, I have, even recently, like some reactions that I've had to circumstances that I'm not proud of. And I've had to then go back and apologize to anybody involved, right? Just recently, there was a situation that happened in my life that created a bit of a wound. And there were a few other people involved. And I shared too much with those people, I felt, even though I knew the other person was sharing a lot too, but I really didn't need to. And it was ego sort of feeling like, you know, its need to prove itself and to be right and to be perceived in a certain way, because it was really devastating what had happened. And the other person, you know, just couldn't see their role at all. And it became like I was this big person that betrayed somehow, which, you know, is very painful. And I shared too much. And I felt really badly about that and had to go back and apologize to anyone that I might have made feel uncomfortable in doing so, because I really, you know, I didn't need to share at all. I could have just let it go because it doesn't matter. And if they want to believe what that person says, that's okay. And if they want to be neutral, that's okay too. It's all okay. There's no loss. You know, recently at work, I had these contractors show up a little earlier than they were supposed to. And this is a possibility in the line of work that I'm in during the day. So, I mean, knowing that it's a possibility really should be enough. But on certain days, it annoys the hell out of me. And so I was called half an hour before my shift started to deal with some contracting issues. And I was so rude to them. And I stormed out and I gave them so much attitude and like made it very clear how much of an inconvenience that it was that they arrived half an hour early. And then I went back and I said to my partner, I was like, oh man, I was so rude to those guys. Like, oh, I feel so bad. So I decided that I was going to humble myself and go back and speak to them to apologize. And so half an hour later at 9 o'clock, when my shift started, I went out and I made a point to find them. And I said, hey, I just want to let you guys know, I'm so sorry for being so rude to you. I didn't have my morning coffee yet. I was just kind of a little bit irritable this morning. And I'm so sorry. There's no excuse for that. You guys have been really, really kind. And I just apologize. And if there's anything I can do, please let me know. And it was important for me to do that because when we humble ourselves enough to make an apology, there's a level of discomfort in that. When I come to somebody with an apology, it's like I have my hat in my hands and I'm saying, I was wrong. What I did was wrong. I don't want to carry the karma from that. I don't want to take that forward into the rest of my day. I don't want to attract negative experiences all day. And I don't want to send you into your morning having been yelled at first thing. You know, that's horrible. So let me just squash that right away. And that level of humility that it takes to come forward with an apology is so cathartic because it teaches me, ooh, I don't want to feel this way. So maybe I shouldn't yell at people. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to feel this way. I don't like the feeling of having to apologize like this. So maybe I don't need to behave in that way. There's so much that we can learn. And I think what we do is we just like, we stand in our own way because it's so hard to admit that we're not already perfect. And the thing is, it's like we really are. Like in all of our imperfections, we are so, so perfect because we came here to learn. And so being perfect, there's nothing to learn at all. It would just be a whole waste of time. We came here to learn and to refine and to become better versions of ourselves because there is no such thing as ever arriving at this place of perfection. There's so much more that we can always refine and hone and change. So I just wanted to leave you with some of this to ponder in your own life. What are some patterns? How do you show up in your relationships? Is there a pattern in your intimate life? Is there a pattern with your friendships? Is there a pattern with your family? Or even just with your own narcissistic way of thinking? Are you negative? Are you a victim? Are you a woe is me? Why does everything bad happen to me? Why can't I have good things in my life? Why can't I have what they have? Is that you? And that's a perfect place to start. Where's the belief? What does it come from? Where did this start? We don't just show up dysfunctional. Where did it start? When's the first time that we can remember feeling like this? Start backwards. Work your way forwards. Why am I who I am? Why do I behave this way? Why do I show up this way? And can I accept feedback from others without emotion? Can I allow myself to be a good person and have work to do simultaneously? And can I reconcile the idea that just because I have flaws doesn't mean I'm a bad person? Just because I make bad choices or I choose behaviors that might be perceived as bad does not mean that I'm a bad person. It means I'm dysfunctional. It means I'm behaving from a place of dysfunction. And why is that? Get curious. We came here to understand ourselves and to learn about ourselves. As always, I invite you to connect with me. Instagram or Facebook Messenger or any way that you participate on social media. I love hearing what your insights are from episodes, especially ones like this, because I think that we all really deal with a lot of the same stuff, but we feel very alone in that. And I'm here to let you know that it's pretty awesome not being perfect, because there's so much to learn, and learning is pretty incredible. It's very freeing and liberating. It doesn't have to be so hard. It feels really painful at first, but as you get good at it, it's just like a skill that you strengthen, a muscle that you flex. As you get good at it, it becomes really exciting and less painful. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode. I've been a little slack on recording, but I will continue because there's so much to talk about. In the meantime, have a beautiful, beautiful day. Don't forget to breathe deeply, to smile, and to connect with those around you. Talk to you soon.